Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Casting Seeds. I'm Savannah, your host.
Jeremiah, your co-host.
And you are listening to the only holistic health podcast that uses God's singular truth to give you individualized discernment. Today, we are kind of going off of our episode from last week where we talked about dying soil equals dying humans. And we're going to talk about how you can tell whether or not your gut and digestion is doing okay through the foods or lack of foods that you're eating, through your stool, through your urine, and also just kind of the tension. So like if you have an itchy bottom, what does that mean? Whether or not it's hemorrhoids, all that fun stuff.
So our microbiome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which actually, Jeremiah and I last night watched a movie. What was it called? We watched a movie on Netflix that's called Hack Your Health, The Secrets of Your Gut. And we just found it very interesting, especially because, you know, last week we talked about seeds and how your microbiome is affected from basically dying soil and how that affects all of the food intake, your vitamin intake, and even the microbiome of the plants themselves, let alone the animals that are eating them. Because if you don't have proper nutrition going into the animals and then you consume those animals or those fruits and vegetables, it doesn't matter. You're getting zero nutrition and a horrible gut and natural gut biome.
Well, you're getting a genetically modified microbiome.
That's right, because last week you mentioned that they're actually making genetically modified microbiomes.
Yeah, and they made it for the soil, for the plant specifically, but they did not, I don't think they calculated what we'll be consuming out of that microbiome.
Well, that's why it's good to understand too that if your plants do not go down 3 times the amount minimum root-wise as it grows, as compared to the height that it grows.
The stalk.
Yes, thank you. It's not meant for that ecosystem.
Yeah.
Because the correct plants will grow deeply into the soil, into the ground. And that's how they get the bioavailability from deep in the earth that other plants that are not meant for that area will kill, right?
Yeah.
It either doesn't work with that microbiome, so the seed doesn't take, or two, that seed will take, and then it can sometimes destroy whole ecosystems because it's not meant to be there, and that ecosystem wasn't meant to destroy that plant or eat it or kill it. Which most, I mean, we live in Southern California. Most of our wildlife here, quote unquote wildlife, is, I mean, even our mustard seeds that we're famous for. That's not naturally Southern California.
Yeah, it's considered an invasive species.
Yeah, all of them are invasive. So with that being said, Jeremiah and I want to put that into your guys' brains and understanding, because when it comes to finding nutrient-dense foods for you and your family, when it came to this movie, The Hack for Your Health, The Secrets of Your Gut on Netflix, their big overall take was basically you need to eat 40 to 60 different types of fibrous fruits and vegetables a day for some people, depending on how bad
up
their,
to 50 grams where the recommended was, I think 16.
Yes.
Or
and
something.
And they want all of them to be different types of fruits and veggies. Yeah. Every gram should be a different one. And it's like, how are you going to get just 1 gram of all those fruits and veggies? That's outrageous. Well,
the thing is like not even our ancestors consume that.
Yes. And that's actually one of the things I talked about today on Instagram, which is so, did you see that?
No, I didn't.
That's so funny. So I said on Instagram that I liked the movie, and the blonde woman in it, who I think is Norwegian, we don't remember. I could look up her name maybe later. The Norwegian lady who was on it, she did a really good job at kind of explaining in depth the difference that every single person is super different individually, and you can't just go in and, you know, figure out your one size fits all diet and things like that.
Exactly.
Which is great.
It has to be holistic.
Exactly. Like, she was one of the few people that I really agreed with throughout the documentary, which was nice. I also think they did show a good range of people and dietary issues, which was also great. But they spoke a lot about fecal matter, right?
Yeah.
Because the first part of your gut biome is your mouth. And that's why when we've done the body mapping, we looked at the tongue, we looked at the mouth, And then we also looked at pimples on the face, because that's also a part of your gut, what comes out, right? And now we're going to look at the very bottom part, which is your stool and also your urine. We may or may not get to the urine today. That might be for next week, depending on how in-depth the stool is, because the stool tells us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I want our listeners to feel like they don't have to go to the doctor for every single little thing, that they don't have to go and Google and research. They can come back to, you know, our podcast and be like, hey, I remember the stool episode. So basically, I want to know, what is your stool telling you? Jeremiah and I have had a lot of dietary issues even before we met. And then that's actually why we started the sex series that we had, Biblical Sex, because we were a little frustrated that before we got married, we weren't prepared for the physical aspect of what sex was going to bring into our marriage.
Microbiome.
Yeah. And how it was going to change us digestively, food-wise, and just be affected overall in general. And even that movie that we watched last night, they talked about poop transplants, where people literally took this. I don't recommend doing this, okay? Please.
Frozen pills of somebody else's poop and put it in their butt.
Yeah. They did like enemas of their other, like one girl did her brother first.
It was only one girl that did it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But no, but they talked about how other people do it.
Yeah.
She first did it with her brother, which is like, they literally show them putting a solid like turd in a blender. I hope it's just like their poop blender. Like that's the only thing this blender touches.
I think she was a chef, wasn't she?
No.
No, that was the other girl.
But I'm just saying, anyway, so and Jeremiah and I just finished eating too. And we were like, looking at this. They put a solid poo in the blender, blended it with whatever chemicals that they do or not do. Maybe it's just water. I don't know. And then they put it, you see them liquefy it and put it in capsules and then freeze it. And Jeremiah's like, does she eat that? And I was like, no, they use it as like a expository. That's what it is.
Yeah. I think they use distilled in the water. Anus.
Yes. So, and the reason why they do that is because they're taking someone else's, the last part of your gut and your microbiome, which means you get the good, but also a lot of the bad. It's what your body's expelling, right? Yeah. So her brother, who had crazy cystic acne, she ended up developing hormonal cystic acne because of that. Then she stopped and started using her boyfriend's.
Yeah.
That's a big commitment. They're not even married. And her boyfriend has clinical depression. So she ended up developing clinical depression. And then she got off of her boyfriend's and back onto her brother's, dropped the depression and gained acne again.
Yeah. One thing you got to be aware of though is like the colon is one of the most absorbent areas of your body.
Yeah. For men, especially.
Yeah.
For women, it's vaginally. But the second, yeah,
so
it's the colon.
Whatever you put in there.
Things aren't recommended.
Caffeine. Coffee.
Yeah, like caffeinated enemas. Yep. People get super caffeinated. And that's why also I don't want to say this term, but I have to say it. Do you remember in high school? You guys, this is going to be a little of a mature audience episode.
Well, don't do that because then I have to change the settings on the
podcast. I don't want to say what this is.
Here's a great way of saying it instead of giving it the term that you wanted to give it.
Yeah. What is it?
Alcohol enemas.
That's not what it is, though.
It is. It is the same exact thing that you're doing with coffee.
But an enema. Okay. Let me just say, you guys, Jeremiah and I were having a discussion because there's a term and it's disgusting. And I remember people talking about it when I was in high school, that college kids would do it. And then kids would get really drunk and do this thing. And what I'm trying to say is that the colon is very absorbent. There's also no liver to help filter or anything like that. So when it comes to people doing enemas, if they do that with alcohol, which we won't say the term on here because it's pretty vulgar and gross, it's not an actual enema. It's people trying to get intoxicated via putting alcohol in their rectum. And it's horrible. It's really bad for you. And please don't ever do it. Fast forwarding. Same thing when you try to exchange microbiomes with other people's fecal matter.
You get the goods and the bads.
Yes. Yeah. So especially fecal matter in itself, I almost wonder if it would be better if there was a way for someone to be able to extract someone's small intestine microbiome, because that that doesn't have any, well, it has a way less of the bad and a lot more of the good. Exactly. Well, I don't know. I don't know how it would work.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if even you could get one sample and somehow grow that one sample and then directly insert it that way instead of getting a fecal matter donor, which is what they say, a poop donor. But anyway,
I wonder how much that makes, poop donors. Like, you have to be, you would have to be completely healthy, like no genetic disorders, and
it's not possible.
Well, so like that in that movie, they're looking for people in third world countries that have never been introduced into our normal diet, and they're taking their fecal matter and bringing it back to the States,
and probably paying them nothing.
Nothing. I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah. Well, either way, you guys. That is a long intro.
That's the intro?
I don't know. This is the scoop, okay? We're going to
poop. The spiel.
We're going to poop. We're going to talk about the scoop is poop today.
I scoop poop.
Yeah.
Dog poop.
Yeah, exactly. Might as well just use the dogs. They probably eat cleaner than us. Our dogs, we make all of our dogs, like, their food from scratch-a-rooney, and it's very healthy.
And also cheaper.
Yes, it's way cheaper. I can put that recipe if people want it, if people
are interested. Or dog food.
Anyway, let's talk about stools. Let's get into
the bird.
Different types of poops and, oh, Jeremiah.
What?
We never even finished the topic that we were talking about earlier as to like, okay, no, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do, you guys. We're going to go over stools, okay? And itchy bottoms and hemorrhoids. If we get to urine, great. If we don't, we don't, because we want to keep this episode shorter because it's another body mapping episode.
Why are hemorrhoids in the list?
Because it has to do with your anus.
And your microbiome?
Yeah. Oh.
Never considered that.
Anywho, with that, I mentioned the Weston A. Price Foundation a lot, but they are huge advocates. And I'm going to use them as kind of the answer after the stool stuff. I want to mention his kind of view on how to eat local and things like that. Again, for people who haven't listened to it, if you have already, then you don't have to listen. But that's kind of the tell-all on how to actually get multiple different types of fibers into your diet locally and for way cheaper. So you're not buying a million different types of fruits and veggies that you're trying to eat daily. If that makes sense. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with stools.
Okay.
Okay. Greasy stools. What?
It's like four okays in a row.
Okay.
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 Start.
Greasy stools that won't flush.
How do you know it's greasy?
Floating stools that will not flush and show liver imbalance. So, have you ever wiped and it's like a little yellowy or orange? Not the color of the poop itself. When you wipe, or like the ring around it.
Like the mucus?
Yeah, the mucusy part. So the mucusy part is literally like you wipe, right? And on what's absorbed, the liquid into the...
It's just got so uncomfortable.
I don't care.
And gross.
The liquid that's absorbed into the... Why can't I remember the toilet paper? Oh. Around it is a little yellow when you wipe. Everyone always looks when they wipe. Every time. Whether you talk about it or not, everyone looks. Because you have to see if you're done wiping. So if the color around it, when you wipe, not the color of like the fecal matter, but like the ring around it, if it's yellowy color or slimy at all, that's a greasy stool.
Okay.
Sometimes they don't flush. They just float, I guess. Anywho, these are solutions for that. Okay, one, eating higher amounts of cooked broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, especially... if you think about sauerkraut type of cabbage, garlic, eggs, turnip roots, so turnips, nuts, seeds, especially like a flax seed or a sunflower or a pumpkin seed. If you are a man or a woman with higher amounts of estrogen, stay away from flaxseed. If you want to bring more estrogen into your life, eat higher amounts of flaxseed. If you have low estrogen, high estrogen, do not eat flaxseed. Okay. So you need to start sprinkling also lined seeds into your salads or soups every day. Practicing a liver rub, which basically is your liver is on the far right side of your rib cage. So if you go to the very center of your rib cage, scoop down onto the right and then go under, your liver is right there. And what you do is you take either castor oil, you can do castor oil packs on it, or just do olive oil and hook in with your hand and do little pumping motion. So you're going to scoop under, hold, breathe, do like a in through your nose always and exhale. And as you exhale, you want your fingers to scoop in and underneath that rib cage. So you're kind of pumping your liver. It's best to do at night and in the morning. So liver pumping. If you are not pregnant or breastfeeding, drink 3 cups of sage tea a day, unless you are breastfeeding or pregnant. I would do it once in the morning, once in the middle of the day, once at night. Taking L-glutamine powder before all of your meals. That also helps kind of reset your liver so that your gallbladder is functioning properly. You can also use digestive enzymes before you eat as well so that you have the proper amount of gallbladder digestion. That seems to really help. Or also getting a really good greens powder, which we will post today because I am not a greens powder fan. I did find one through my aunt. That's through a really good company actually here in Huntington Beach. And what they do is they take the greens and they blend them into a juice form. And then they don't dehydrate the juice, but they flash freeze it so that you actually have all of the nutrients from the juice. And then they grind it into a powder. And it is very green tasting. It doesn't, if you are not used to bitters and greens, you're not going to like the taste. I blend it into a smoothie for Jeremiah because he needs
I'm bougie.
It is better though to actually taste bitters. Like your body needs to taste it to help with digestive enzymes. So if you can tolerate a little bit of a bitter taste, like I just make a smaller drink and the more compacted it is, actually tastes more gross to me. I like to make it a big drink and then put a bunch of lemon in it and it's like bitter, a little bitter lemon, and then it tastes super good. And I just drink it over the next like 20 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes. But there are some days where I was like, oh, I don't feel like taking this. And then I just put it in some water and took it all as like a big shot and it was grimy and gross, but I felt really good afterwards. So that will definitely help with your digestion. And it has tons of different herbs and plants in it. If you can't afford to buy a greens, this one's only $35. So it's a really, really good price in my opinion. But if you can't afford to do that, the next best thing for you to do is to go out. If you have an organic backyard, go and check the dandelion, the nettles, all of what's called basically your weeds in your backyard. Again, only if it is organic. If you have no pesticides, no sprays or anything like that, taking those, drying them and blending them into a powder or just eating them. Those are amazing dark leafy greens and carnivorous types of veggies that will help with your liver and liver support. And it's supporting your natural microbiome that you're in every single day, which is the Western A. Price way. I love that foundation. Anywho, now moving into foul smelling stools. So like poops that just, oh my gosh, did this person die when they went to the bathroom type of a doo-doo. Which Jeremiah never struggles with ever.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Me too. I know,
you have perfect poop.
We'll literally like beg each other to please shut the bathroom door afterwards. I feel like that happens with any marriage though, especially people who have had celiac issues like you and I have. Y'all know how it feels. I feel like people are listening to this and they're like, stop telling me your intimate poop life. Okay, so foul smelling poops or stools, they're a sign of poor digestion in general. So your food's stagnating, probably most likely in your large intestine, because it's not absorbing all of the liquid fully out of your intestines. So this means that you're in general higher toxicity level in your gut. So it means that your gut is overly acidic normally, and you just really need digestive enzymes. That's kind of normally the number one. You need higher amounts of digestive enzymes in your gut. So one of the solutions is obviously to start taking digestive enzymes before every meal. A small meal would be A small meal would be one digestive enzyme. And then a large meal would be two digestive enzymes. Liquid chlorophyll is also really good for your digestive enzymes in general. It helps support your gut flora. Also taking 100 milligrams of CQ10, probably like every day, would be really good. And make sure it's not the kind from Costco. You want to get all natural brands always for everything that we're talking about. It'd also probably be really good just in general to start with some juices, but it's good to keep the fibers. So start with a few juices like during the week, and then if you can, blend them into smoothies, because it's better to have the fibers than to not. But a good example is like 2 carrots, 2 sticks of celery, and like a cucumber all juiced together or blended together. It sounds like a pain, but it helps in general with you starting off your day and getting you good fibers at the beginning of your day so that you're supported for the rest of it. But that's why I actually think just doing that really good juice, the juice powder that I talked about, would probably be one of the best solutions. And then it's easier. And it's only $35 for like a month's worth. And that's if you do take it daily, which a lot of people don't, you know.
Yeah.
The first few months are always kind of difficult. So yeah, the next one is going to be skid mark stools. So what?
Just like heavy stools that fall in.
Is that what you think they are?
More dense.
So normally that's when they have too much mucus. So they slide and they stick to the edge of your toilet.
Mm.
They're heavier. You are right. They're thicker and dense, but then they slide. So you're lacking normally good quality fiber in your diet, and you need to eat more foods, like higher fiber foods and foods that have natural enzymes in them, which I'm not cutting out that you can't do this through meat as well. But most people who eat meat aren't also eating small intestine, large intestine, heart, liver, kidney. They're not eating brain. They're not eating nose to tail as much as most people are like, oh yeah, I'm buying like grass-fed beef, like grass finished. Okay. But are you eating the entire cow?
Yeah.
Most of them aren't. So like if you're not eating different types of meat, then you're not getting different types of minerals and nutrients. Honey, can you tell me all the different types of meat you've eaten in the past 2 weeks?
Let's see, chicken breast, chicken sausage, chicken taquitos.
Yeah, all you've had, and you feel sick, right? You haven't been feeling good.
No, I'm fine.
No.
I just like, I'm over like chicken.
Yeah, that's a way of feeling sick.
Oh.
So people think that feeling sick means like you're vomiting, like actual flu symptoms, but your body is sick and tired of eating chicken because all you've had is chicken.
Yeah.
It needs different vitamins and it needs different nutrients, different minerals.
Yeah, I agree.
So eating different types, and not even just different types of meat, but different parts of the animal is really, really important.
Yeah.
So it'd be different if you were eating like chicken stock a little bit with it, you know, the gelatinous part, which we're getting.
Pass.
Jeremiah, we're working on it.
Nope. Not a soup guy.
We're getting him there, you guys. It's okay. It takes time. But either way, skid mark stools, the stickiness is a sign of dampness inside the body, which is a very common condition in most people. Which is, again, more of a Chinese term. So when we say that there's dampness inside the body, it means that they're normally cool and wet. So your body's cold and wet. So that means you start eating things that are drier and warmer to counterbalance that.
Mm.
But here are some solutions, okay? Reduce your intake of mucus-producing foods, like dairy products and especially alcohol, okay?
Okay.
So no alcohol enemas, none of that. Skip the pub just for a little. Skip the bar. Not like that's really an issue in our life. But you'll notice that even if you feel like you're kind of having FOMO and missing out for a few days, you're going to feel a lot better. Take some rest time for your body and let it reset. Also, eating blue or green algae or any type of sea moss, getting those essential vitamins and minerals into your body will definitely help kind of reset you, especially if you do it for about a week straight. And I would double up the dosage. So like if you normally do a tablespoon, take two and kind of let your body reset. Make sense?
Yeah.
So pellet stools. Do you remember this from the movie last night? What pellets mean?
Like rabbit poop.
Uh-huh. What does that mean?
Where you drop these little baby poops.
Yeah, but what does it mean to your body?
Oh, I don't remember what it means.
So it normally means that you have a type of liver congestion and that's what's causing constipation. So little kids tend to get that a lot when they have constipation.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get those little rabbit poops. Sometimes adults get them, but it is more common in kids. So most people that do a cleanse, because this is kind of the opposite of the Skidmark one a little bit, you would want to do things that are a little more like having slippery elm or marshmallow root or licorice in your diet, not licorice candy, licorice root. That kind of helps have more of that loosening of your stools, or aloe vera gel. Aloe vera is really great to drink. And some people recommend doing it only for one day, but I would say do it for a minimum of 2 days of eating that more consistently, because it takes about 48 hours for your gut microbiome to fully reset once you've introduced that into your gut. But even taking 2 capsules of milk thistle 3 times a day and alfalfa lipoic acid, which is like 500 milligrams daily for about a month. So doing that consistently for a month should help fully reset. But if you're doing just the cleanse, do that for a minimum of 2 days. And also use an internal cleansing powder. Psyllium husks are really good. I know that some people will sometimes take too much bentonite clay, which is a drying and more absorbing. So if you feel like you're eating too much bentonite clay and then you've had too much, psyllium husks will help. Also, chia seeds can help as well. But I feel like chia seeds can sometimes get stuck in the especially in the small intestine, and they don't make it, a lot of them don't make it far enough down, and you need to drink a lot of water after that, and not just crappy water, but good mineral based water.
Yeah, and it's not good if, like, a lot of people may have leaky gut, and if you have leaky gut, chia seeds is terrible for that.
Yeah, it can cause more micro tears. Also, a teaspoon of liquid chlorophyll before meals, you can do that and get it at the health food store. Liquid chlorophyll actually helps a lot with the gut. I feel like it's something that should be a staple if you're into herbalism or wanting to have an apothecary. It's a great staple to have in your fridge at all times. Also, sprinkling around 2 tablespoons of lectin granules in your cereals or salads, just things like that, could help kind of rebalance the constipation that you're having. Okay, moving on to everyone's favorite, loose and runny stools, but like all the time. So if you're like chronically having diarrhea and all those fun things, which is something that I definitely struggle with celiac. It's not the same as like a single bout of diarrhea causing like a day bug. This is something, if you have it more than 4 times in a row, then that's considered more chronic. And in this situation in general, having runny stools where they're not formed or formulated at all, it's a sign that your spleen function is exhausted. So not just liver and gallbladder, but your spleen is not activating.
Interesting.
Which I feel like we don't talk about spleens very often.
No.
It tends to be more liver. So one of the best things that you could do is to be encouraged to eat many raw veggies until your stools start to improve. And the reason why they say raw veggies is because it's a lot more fibrous when it's raw.
Okay.
Unless you tend to have leaky gut, then eating raw veggies is going to actually cut up your small intestine more. So start with cooked veggies and try that for about a week. And if you don't see an improvement, then go to raw veggies.
Okay.
And then if neither work, check with your doctor.
What about like just like semi-steamed
vegetables? That's still technically cooked.
Okay.
Also adding the following list to your diet: higher amounts of onions, leeks, ginger, cinnamon, fennel, garlic, and nutmeg. A whole wild rice and oats that are preferably gluten-free. Spelt as well is a great breakfast alternative, and buckwheat, which is also a gluten-free grain.
Or just harvested yourself, right? Does it have to be gluten-free?
I mean, no, I'm saying buckwheat. Buckwheat is gluten-free.
Oh, okay.
It is better to have gluten-free grain in your diet if you're having spleen issues, because a lot of people who struggle normally with their spleen also do not do well with gluten. Okay. Or dairy as well.
The more you know.
Exactly. Eating warm foods to help activate your spleen, and drinking herbal teas and warm water, especially during the cold or rainy months. If you want to eat salads, always have a warm food with them. So grate some ginger over the salad, some cinnamon in your salad dressing. Having these warmer effects on the spleen is what helps activate it and also helps your kidneys as well. So also supporting your kidney health and drinking higher amounts of cherry juice. And if you're not pregnant, cranberry, higher amounts of cranberry are really good for supporting the kidneys and the spleen in general, and pomegranate, actually.
So Savannah, what is the next part of poop?
The next poopy part?
Yeah, what's next? What do I need to look out for now?
Light colored stools. Do you remember when our dogs, like when Atlas started pooping like white poops?
From the bone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that? And we were so freaked out. We called Chelsea. We were like, hey, veterinarian, what the heck's happening to our dog? So kind of similar, except it's not just bones. It's actually more about fats. So if your stools in general are lighter colored, basically like a beige color or have like a yellow appearance, you have difficulty digesting the fatty foods. So your body's expelling the fats through your digestive tract instead of absorbing them.
So how can you tell the difference between fat and greasy then?
So greasy is a
greasy
dark...
Greasy floats.
Yeah, it floats. It's a dark colored stool. But remember, it has, when you wipe on the...
Yellow mucus.
Yes. And then this is an actual like yellow or light beige color. The poop itself is that color. And you're most likely deficient in essential fatty acids. So like the good fats. Because you can't absorb them properly. So the normal solution for this is eating more foods with EFAs in them to help you to metabolize fats. So add fish, avocados, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, sea vegetables, which is just like seaweed, that type of stuff. Eating sea vegetables or like nori in your diet. Nori and sea moss and seaweed.
Mm.
And for those of you who don't know, EFAs are essential fatty acids. So you're getting essential fatty acids into your diet, like omega-3s, and reducing omega-6s in your diet.
With omegas, is that this, like, similar to fish oil?
Yeah. So people normally get like their krill through omega-3s. You can also get it through seaweed and other stuff like that. I personally think that krill is one of the best ways to get it. Or through cod liver.
Mm-hmm.
Cod liver oil is like one of the best things that you can eat for your body.
So my experience while I was bodybuilding, any fish oil or any product out of the ocean that you purchase as a mineral, as a capsule, and it's a liquid, you should always buy it and refrigerate it immediately.
Yes.
And you should always make check the expiration date, because if it's like within the first 2 years, it's probably, I'm not going to say it's expired, but because fish oil is not refrigerated,
it goes rancid. Yeah. And that's why when people will work out afterwards, they'll smell like the fish oil or they'll burp it up. And that's why a lot of people have, even like our great grandparents, not even our grandparents, our great grandparents, like grew up with cod liver oil, and they have such bad backgrounds with that, and you'll hear like cod liver oil, ugh. But that's why eating just straight up cod liver fish, it's so good. It tastes amazing. I love it. Put it on toast and you only eat it like twice a week, but so good for omega-3s and healthy fatty acids, getting that vitamin A, vitamin K. It is like butter. Love it.
You'll save yourself a lot of stomach pains and smelly breath and everything.
Yeah. And my aunt and uncle, actually, they ground up a bunch of rosemary and put olive oil on it. And mm-hmm. then they soak it. And then they put that rosemary spread on with the cod liver oil. And it literally just tastes like you're in Italy. Like,
yeah. Is that refrigerated when they buy it? Or is it?
The cod liver? No. Because it's the liver is stored in oil and then it's sealed. So the same way that when I eat my mussels and the sardines, that doesn't have to be refrigerated because it's stored properly and it's sealed properly.
Interesting.
So unless it was in like super high heat and then cold, then yeah, there is a chance of it going rancid, but you can smell that when you open up the containers.
Yeah.
Which is actually, that's like most of what I ate when I was pregnant too. I was craving those.
Yeah. We literally bought it all at all the mussels over at Trader Joe's and yeah. they were sold out.
Because of me.
Blame Savannah if you didn't get it.
So also speaking of food in general, if food is in your stools, so like when you see it and it's not digested properly, it's
like corn.
Yeah. Like sweet corn is right. actually one of the number one things ever to ever find in your stools. Mm. If you find remnants of other foods, I mean, mm-hmm. it's different with sweet corn because the husk is difficult for us to digest, but it may mean that your digestive system is overall weak and you also may not be chewing your food long enough. You have to remember your mouth is the first step in your digestive tract. Your saliva and your literally your enamel helps break down that food before it goes into your tummy, right?
Yeah. Atlas was having that issue for a little while with the brown rice when we first introduced it into the system.
Because he also wasn't slowing down and eating it. Yeah. That's why they have those slow. Atlas feeders. Is our dog, yeah. by the way. He's one of our dogs. The slow feeders help dogs to slow down and actually digest because dogs aren't really meant to chew most of their food. They're meant to tear, right? So letting it go into their body a little bit more slowly allows their digestion to move more slowly, yeah. which is healthier for them, but also makes them more sleepy. But chewing your food thoroughly and remembering that your stomach doesn't have any teeth is a good way to kind of restart your digestion. And your food should be mushy before you swallow, which a lot of people don't like, but it's true. So next on the list is, which it's like never ending, poop. Never ending. Thin or shreddy stools. So it's when your colon is screaming out for help, like, please clean me, please, please, please clean me. Because they're unable to basically form a stool altogether. So it's very thin, very long cut. Think like pencil stools. Or almost look like it went through a shredder, like a bunch of tiny, like long worms.
Yeah, never seen that before.
Yeah, I've never had that either. But if you have, the number one thing that you can do is give yourself an enema or have a colonic regulation would be good. That's like the first recommended thing, whether you're at a doctor's office or in a holistic nutritionist, whatever. The next thing to do is also, again, eat a high fiber diet to help. Instead of it being shreddy, will collect together easier. So eating lots of fruits and veggies, especially dark leafy green salads. My biggest thing would probably, because people ask like, oh, well, can I just take the tincture version of these things? No, you want the actual fiber. So like if you're going to take dandelion, great, but eat dandelion leaves. There's a difference. Also, don't drink the tea, eat the leaves.
Why?
Because you're getting the whole fiber, you're getting the whole plant. There are times when you need just more of the extract, like the medicinal part of the plant, so that your body doesn't have to work hard to digest it and then process it. But if you're missing that part, then you need to eat the entire plant. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's a difference between drinking teas. Like there's a different time and place for different types of herbal medicine and intake. So there are times to eat. There are times not to eat. There are times to fast. There are times to take an essence of a plant, which means that the plant literally sat next to a water and the water absorbed the essence of that. There are plant essences. There's also oils, time to do things topically and internally. When it comes to herbal medicine, it's about knowing the time and place and what to do internally and externally for your body, right? And the only way you can really figure that out is one, obviously having an herbal background is nice, but starting with one plant, getting to know it really well and using it in all different kinds of ways. So like chamomile is a big one that we use in our household for so many different things. We've kind of graduated past chamomile a little bit, like you and I, but we use it for our dogs. We use it for us. We use it for kids. We use it for people who visit because it's such a great soft plant that has strong herbal medicinal properties. So Jeremiah and I have used it for, you know, topically for irritation on skin. We've even used it for our shampoos and lotions because it's so great for external hydration. We've used it for upset stomachs as a tea because if you feel like you're going to vomit, you're not going to eat chamomile. But a tea, a liquid, helps calm. We have not made it into an oil, but if we did, we could.
No, we did.
When did we? Oh.
We did.
We did. That's true.
We used that like crystal type of glass and we poured it in there. Remember we left all the chamomile in it, and then we poured the tincture in it also.
Yeah, so we made, so that we ingested it as an oil. But that's what's cool. You can use it topically as well. Like, we could have used that to heal wounds and things like that. But normally, sometimes oils aren't great for wounds.
Yeah, so we were adding that to our tea.
Yeah, we were. So that's why there's so many different ways to use the same plant. And it's about getting familiar with one plant and using it into your lifestyle, and then you slowly do that over time, and that's how you literally, you become an herbalist, of course, by going to school. I'm a huge advocate of that. You can't just open up a book and then say, now I'm an herbalist. You need to understand the background and usage of different plants and the reason why. Also, it helps you in general figure out and balance how to wildcraft properly. Also, what's safe and unsafe. So I do. I'm a huge advocate. Some people think it's stupid to say that, but also you don't know your local plants or how to wildcraft, then you can't call yourself an herbalist.
But also, you want to keep in mind that when you're buying these books, you got to look into who wrote them, because a lot of people who are using AI and these generated things, and they're wrong. They're giving wrong data. They're giving wrong suggestions.
Made up things too. They're just filling. And normally it's like a 3-in-1, 2-in-1 book, or 5 herbs that help 8 things. Like, it's, they're weird. And then you need to look up basically the people who are the authors, quote unquote authors.
Find somebody you trust.
Which we can compile a list. There will be one soon on our new website. There's going to be a whole list of books that I recommend that you can buy. I've already done it quite a few times on Instagram, and some of my favorite books have actually come up on sale. So if you guys follow me on Instagram, you'll catch, and I'll be like, hey, Amazon's selling this for half off. They just did that with the, what is it? The Herbal Nutritionist book. It was such a good sale. It was literally 50% off, and I was shocked that they had that discount. But anyway, my biggest thing is just saying, get to know, start with classes of a trusted school, find a local school in your area that can take you out wildcrafting so you can start getting into botany. And then after that, yes, they will recommend certain books. I will recommend, go to herbalists that you trust and then grow from there. So you can play with herbs and supplements, but you're not an herbalist until you've done herbalist hours.
Okay, so what's next on poop, though?
So the last one that we're going to be talking about today is the all-encompassing worms. People, I feel like parasites. Like earthworm? I hope not. I feel like that sounds worse for some reason than a parasite. Because earthworms are not supposed to be there. Parasites are natural. So worms in your stools, it's a horrible thought in general, but it's way more widespread than you could ever think or imagine. And Jeremiah knows that all too well. Right, honey? Jeremiah,
it's not fun.
We did a bacterial cleanse and then a parasite cleanse in September, October, and November. I think we finished in December, right? And I felt so much better after the bacterial cleanse. But Jeremiah, with the parasite cleanse, that hit you so hard.
It did. It knocked me out for a few days. It was not a fun experience. And like towards the end of it, talk about an itchy butthole.
Yeah, not even towards it. I feel like halfway through also. It's like you knew you still had the parasites when it was still itchy because they're coming out. And we never looked through our poop ever.
I never saw anything
that grossed us out too much.
I've seen too many people on Instagram. They're like, look what I found. I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Skip.
If it's itchy, it's still there. If it's not itchy, it's gone afterwards. So it's a good sign. But kids often have them and pass them on to adults through poor hygiene.
How can you pass along a...
wiping a child's booty. You know, when they wipe their and change their diapers.
Oh.
Yeah. And they don't wash their hands properly or get stuck under their nail and you touch your face, put your hand in your mouth. Normally kids, more often, kids pass them on to adults. And you want to know what happens too? Sometimes a woman has them while she's pregnant and she doesn't know, gives the parasites to her unborn baby. Unborn baby has them. And then let's say dad doesn't have them or does. And then that's how it can pass on to an adult. And then it's a never ending cycle. So that's why the whole family has to cleanse at the same time. It can't just be one or the other. And that's why Jeremiah and I cleanse at the same time because we're sexually active, right? We're husband and wife. So if one spouse is doing a cleanse, both have to do it. Jeremiah's like, his face is so grossed out right now. You can also pick them up from kissing your pets on the mouth and eating poorly, or like basically undercooked pork, raw meats, or even raw fish. Jeremiah's glaring at me because I kiss my doggies. I kiss them on the nose. I kiss them on the nose all the time. So to deworm yourself, you have to do it the right way, right? If you have worms, you will be low in nutrients in general because your worms, the parasites, are going to eat the nutrients. The worms are living off of your nutrients, and your nutrients absorption will be compromised always, no matter what. So we already discussed in last week's episode that we are nutrient deficient.
Yeah.
From soil. So now imagine now being like extra nutrient deficient because you have worms eating the very little nutrients that you can get. Like, no wonder why people are sick.
Yeah. That's crazy.
People with worms often have anemia. So like very low iron levels and also very low copper levels. You can get your iron levels checked out and your copper from doing blood work, but you'll most likely have a very itchy bottom, especially at night. So try not to scratch it. And the best time to do a parasite cleanse. Do you remember when, Jeremiah?
Right before the full moon.
Yep. The week leading up to the full moon. And then going through the full moon until a few days after. And people are like, oh, what kind of witchcrafty weirdness is this? There's nothing weird about it. The same way that the tides get stronger with the full moon approaches, it's the exact same thing with parasites. Literally, they get pulled out of you much more strongly from the pull of the moon. So isn't that strange and cool?
And gross.
But black walnut tincture, which Jeremiah remembers.
Oh my gosh, you guys. You want bitter?
It was the black walnut and the cloves. Those were like super gnarly. It's best not to take these when you're pregnant, but honestly, if you do these 3 times a day, especially on an empty stomach, it's probably one of the best things for you. And you also have to take activated charcoal an hour after.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, because if you don't do that, you don't have, like, the worms are not going to die off and be absorbed. Like, the activated charcoal breaks them down and helps it flush out. You have to take a binder with it. And activated charcoal is a really cheap, great alternative. Just buy the powder form and mix it into a drink. You don't need to do it in capsule form.
And if you guys do this and you guys drink the clover and the black walnut, I did it for like 2 weeks. It was 3 weeks?
You did it for a few months.
Oh, did I? I don't even remember. But nothing is bitter after. You can have 100% cacao.
Oh,
and that tastes good.
And Jeremiah and I were dying laughing. We're like, why does this taste like so sweet to us? It tasted amazing. So gentia root tincture 3 times a day is also great for treating worms. Eating lots of pumpkin seeds and sesame seeds and figs actually help a lot with expelling those little creatures. Drinking aloe vera juice 1 or 2 times a day before meals to help prevent like reinfection of them. Because it kind of helps them slide on out of you. Take a good multivitamin with high B vitamins. I'm not a huge fan of multivitamins, to be honest. I would just say, like, up your intake of B vitamins and make sure that your CoQ10 is on par. To me, that would be better. Grapefruit seed extract, 20 drops in your water 3 times a day is also great. Again, very, very bitter. Like, even the fruits are, like, known as more of the bitter fruit that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of bitters. Well,
fig. I mean, I don't like fig naturally. But if you guys get almond butter and you get fig and you mix that together, it tastes like caramel. It's amazing. Throw a little salt on that. You could dip whatever you want.
Yeah, but you also have to stay away from sugar and high fats. So almond butter is, and it's not jelly, honey. They can't eat like fig jam.
Why it's not? Like, trying to help you guys out here.
Sorry, didn't help. But yeah, eating lots of onions, again, leafy greens, right? We're talking about bitters, 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 bitters. You have to cut out sweets, pasteurized milks, processed foods. Worms thrive in all of those environments. Also drinking Senna tea to pump out those little creatures in general. Zinc oxide cream also. Like if you put it around the opening of the anus, if it's super itchy, that will help with itchiness and discomfort, especially if you have a significant amount and for little kids who want to itch their bums if you're doing it for children. Mm. And this may sound crazy. Okay.
May?
Yeah. You can also put, and I don't know how well this works, but for a lot of people it does, a couple of garlic cloves inside your socks or shoes. You know, some people do like the red onion on their feet when they're sick.
Yeah.
So garlic, and like especially if you walk on the garlic, could you imagine what that smells like?
I can't imagine walking on garlic.
It will be crushed up and absorbed through your skin into the blood and into the intestinal tract. Worms hate garlic. And if you absorb the anti-parasitic properties through your skin, also eating raw or cooked garlic.
I can see why people want to give their dogs garlic now.
Yeah, a lot of people do, but garlic's really bad for dogs.
Huh.
Like really, really, really bad for dogs. The last things too, itchy bottoms, if it's not, you know, parasites, they're also, it can be a type of food sensitivity and or a hemorrhoid. So it's good to check those as well. Just saying. It doesn't have to always be a parasite. So check to see if you have food sensitivities or check to see if you have hemorrhoids mm-hmm. before going all out on parasites. But you should do parasite cleanses at least if you've never done it before in your life, probably start twice a year for the next 3 years and then slowly work your way.
You mean I have to do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because you're obsessed with sugar. But I hope overall we can do urine next time and go more in depth into hemorrhoids and stuff and how to heal those for next week. But I hope that you guys were so encouraged about poop today. Yeah. And
I think one thing that we didn't mention is like you got to stay hydrated also.
Yeah.
Like your poop also relies on your water.
But here's the thing. If your water intake is crappy water. So if your water doesn't, if it's not filtered properly and if it's overly filtered, which is great because it needs to be super stripped, especially if you live here in California, you need to strip it of everything. But then now you have water that's empty. So empty water is then going to go into your system and go yep. and then absorb all of your minerals. So you have to make sure that when you have stripped water, if it's not coming from a natural healthy
don't
source,
drink distilled. Just to be clear.
A lot of people do drink distilled water.
But that actually hurts you more.
Yes. They drink distilled water and then they put minerals back into it. So they don't drink it straight as it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they drink distilled and purified water, add minerals back in with trace minerals or sea salts and a mixture of different things and electrolytes. They mm-hmm. add it back into their water and then they drink it and then it's hydrating. So if you're going to hydrate, make sure you hydrate properly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, you're going to have stripped stools and your urine's going to be worse, which we can talk about next time because we're all out of time today. We took all that time up just talking about doo-doos.
Ain't that some?
Cacahuates, which is peanut butter. Actually, in Spanish. But my family says it as like poop. We say, oh, there's a caca, cacahuate. Anyway.
Okay. And cut. No. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening today. We really appreciate our consistent listeners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we ask that you check us out on YouTube and give us a like and a follow. And thank you for your support. And reach out to Savannah.
Yeah, and just letting you guys know too, with our interviews coming up, they're going to be recorded with video. So our interviews, we'll have video in the future. And I'm actually really excited because then I feel like I get to interview, especially the people who are going to be from afar, face to face, and see them. And yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it'll be pretty great. You will not be able to see video on your podcasting system, whatever you're listening on. You will have to go to YouTube, and I'm going to look into possibly getting it on Spotify. But Apple and everything else does not do video yet.
Spotify does video?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. I'm learning new things. But we had zero Bible verses this episode. Just because I can look up if there are Bible verses about poop, but I feel like it's not really necessary. But I do want you guys to be encouraged to know that God created us perfectly from how we eat food and basically all the way to the point where it comes out. I mean, he uses our own bodies for us, like, to learn about his creation, which is pretty amazing. And to sum up, the Weston A. Price Foundation. I kind of mentioned it earlier, but just remember, you guys, that if you eat locally, if you grow your own food, if you shake the hand of the farmer that you're working with, which we talked about in last week's episode, the handshake rule, the golden handshake rule, not at the market, but at his or her farm, right? So if you eat local, buy local, support local for your local gut biome, you are going to flourish in the best way possible for your health and your body and your family's body. We thank you guys so much for listening, and God bless, and have a great rest of your day. We hope you enjoyed learning how to cultivate God's creation from a biblical perspective. Holistic health is to prioritize whole person wellness through Christ. Like and comment on what topics we're casting seeds or casting pearls.
If you found this information provided useful, subscribe to our podcast for future updates, leave a review to help us improve, and share this episode. We would like to remind you before we leave that perfect health cannot be attained in this world.
Only spiritual salvation through sanctification and repentance to God and turning away from sin will give you a perfect body in the kingdom come. Nourish yourself in the word, in prayer, and in biblical fellowship daily.
Thank you for joining us today, and a special thank you to our listeners for making this podcast possible.
Always praying.
Keep casting seeds.